We begin, though, with security at Defense Department buildings. Changes coming to the deadline for BRAC-related facilities in this area to comply with minimum anti-terrorism standards for buildings. And Congressman Jim Moran announcing these at a news conference this morning, and I'm pleased to welcome Congressman Moran to the program today. Thank you, sir, for being with me today.
I'm happy to be with you, Francis.
Frame this for us, if you would, please. Tell us where we were before this announcement came about today.
What we announced was that there will be a reprieve for the commercial office buildings that have been under a deadline of September 30th, in other words, next Wednesday, to comply with these additional security standards for buildings that were imposed pretty much at the same time that the BRAC 2005 decision came out, and they were related. They came out just before the BRAC process, but that's one of the reasons that the Pentagon used to justify moving 20,000 people out of Arlington and Alexandria to Fort Belvoir. These security standards are impossible to meet, really. There's not one building in all of metropolitan Washington that meets these standards. And they're based upon need for any building to be secure in the case of a 200-pound explosive being set off by what would probably be a truck bomb. That eventuality, a building would only be secure if it was 82 to 148 feet setback from the street. The standard said that you can't have underground parking, you can't have direct access to public transit, to a metro station. Any number of requirements that meant that every office building that was housing Defense Department employees in the metropolitan Washington area was non-compliant as of this coming Wednesday. So what we did was to get the new administration to reconsider this, and I think to act much more logically and to say the buildings have another two-year reprieve, and in the meantime, they can sign longer-term leases that will be good until 2014.
So you released a memorandum at your news conference today, Defense Undersecretary Ashton Carter saying, "We agree that the department has limited options that would minimize disruption of ongoing defense missions without incurring significant unbudgeted expense." So there's a money component here as well as the security component.
Absolutely. BRAC was justified by virtue of its saving money. It's not saving money. It's costing tens of billions of dollars. And this is one of the things that will cost money is these additional security standards. The U.S. Capitol doesn't comply. None of the House or Senate office buildings in Capitol Hill complies. The Pentagon doesn't even comply because it has direct access to a metro station. There's no building that complies, and the reality is that unless you're an iconic building like the Supreme Court, which incidentally doesn't comply either, then you really don't need to protect yourself against a 200-pound explosive. These are relatively nondescript office buildings. I mean, some of them are nice office buildings, but they don't really, have any particular status in terms of sending a message, causing symbolic damage. There, in fact, most people don't even know what the acronyms stand for. For the agencies that are in these buildings. Substantial overreach. It wasn't necessary. And in fact, as I say, the buildings in the Washington area don't comply. You've got iconic buildings, the United Nations, the U.S. mission to the UN in New York City, and any number of others. that don't comply either, but they use a more rational standard that GSA has put together. So that's what we're trying to move to. But in the meantime, they were under this requirement that they comply by September 30th, 2009, and with these security standards, knowing that it was impossible to comply. And at the same time, the people in these buildings were supposed to be moving to Fort Belvoir. The buildings aren't built at Fort Belvoir. There's nowhere for them to meet. But the Defense Department wasn't able to renew the leases for these people in their current buildings because of the security standard noncompliance. So when we presented that situation, Ashton Carter, the Assistant Secretary of Defense, acted in a very rational, responsible way and said, okay, we're gonna give some flexibility here, working with the General Services Administration, which was terrific, and we're gonna give them some reprieve. And so that's what we were announcing. It is complicated, but it is as important as it is complicated.
We have a link to your release on federalnewsradio.com, and we'll be hearing more about it from Federal News Radio's Max Kakis this afternoon on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris. Congressman, do you think that these standards are possible to meet before the 2011 deadline, or do you think that some work needs to be done on them between now and that deadline?
I don't think they're possible to meet, and I don't think they should be met. I think we need to revise these. You know, there are any number of ways that you can make a building secure. You can have a lobby go around the perimeter of the building where people can still work and where functions can be carried out. But in the offices that where people are housed, you can put those offices above the ground floor. You can put them behind secure walls that are inside the lobby perimeter. There are a number of things that have been done throughout the country in major cities that have provided security without wasting an enormous amount of very valuable land for these setback requirements. These setback requirements just don't make sense in an urban area. No one can possibly afford the cost of a 148-foot setback. It just doesn't make sense. So we have worked with GSA. GSA has suggested any number of prescriptive remedies that are not as expensive that and yet would be compliant with GSA standards. In other words, they say this is what we want you to achieve. You figure out how to achieve, and then that has been done. DOD, on the other hand, told them exactly how to do it without any deviation for the circumstances, and that just is impossible. We need to change the standards so that they are more like GSA's and less like DOD's, because people do need to work in metropolitan areas where land is valuable, and they also should have access to public transit. Every metropolitan area, particularly in the Washington area, is at a failing rate of traffic congestion. So as a major employer, DOD has some responsibility to take that into consideration and to enable their people to use public transit. Again, Secretary Rumsfeld's decision was to the contrary, but he's no longer Secretary of Defense, fortunately.
Congressman Jim Moran represents the 8th District of Virginia, and I want to follow up on some of the things that you've mentioned already about the security issue, and also see if I can get one in about the federal pay raise for next year. When we come back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing their seatbelts, so why leave them unprotected when you're gone? I'm Wayne Zell, and at Zell Law, we help protect your assets for your heirs and keep them from the IRS and creditors. Zell Law, dedicated to helping you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Call me at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com. And join me every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth right here on 1500 a.m. and 820 a.m.
Hi, this is Coach Lynn. How safe is our food supply and who's minding the store? Can our food supply be used as a source of bioterrorism? There are some things about our food supply that you just don't want to miss. So tune in right here at Federal News Radio, 1500, 820 a.m., 11 to 12 on Saturday. Prosper.
On the next episode of the Fred Federal Show.
You must be Lewis Rucker and Fred Federal. Welcome aboard.
I was once treated on the USNS Solace.
I was in the Air Force with the Hurricane Hunters, and Lewis was a SEAL.
The hospital lab uses direct connection to wireless IP phones.
Lewis, are you all right? Oh, no!
Code Blue, respiratory therapist, ICU, stat.
The Fred Federal Show, this week on Federal News Radio.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm pleased to be talking to Congressman Jim Moran, represents the 8th District of Virginia. You've got a terrific district, sir. I live across the river, and I'm represented by your colleague, Congressman Van Hollen, but I love to come over to your district and do a little economic stimulus when I get a chance to.
Good for you. Dropping some big bucks in Old Town and Roslyn and so on, huh?
I do it every chance I get.
Good for you.
One of the best, do you think the best way to change the standards that we've been talking about, these security standards for these buildings, is to continue to work with DOD to push them toward the GSA standards? Or is there something that you and your colleagues can do in the appropriations process to, shall we say, encourage them?
Well, we have put in language encouraging them, but that's not what will achieve the objective. I think the objective is just to use common sense. And GSA, because they've had to have used common sense in dealing with other agencies' security standards, they worked it out. They deal with State Department. They deal with the United Nations. They deal with a lot of agencies that need security, but also need to operate in urban environments where the land is very expensive. So the way GSA has gone is by far the better way. DOD, they were kind of closed-minded for the last 7 years, but I think now that you've got new people at DOD, you're going to see more open-mindedness, and instead of decisions that didn't really make a whole lot of sense in some cases, you're going to see a much more rational form of decision making, taking every consideration into account and doing what makes the most sense from a cost-effective standpoint as well as from a total security standpoint.
You mentioned that these standards were set in place ostensibly to prevent a truck bomb tragedy like what happened in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, as soon as somebody says truck bomb, that's where I go right away. Yeah. And General Services Administration set these standards up confident that they could prevent something like this from happening again, and that's where I imagine you draw your confidence?
Well, that's right. The General Services Administration has done a good job. We don't expect that this is going to happen, anytime in the near future, if ever. We have a lot more security built in. We have gates. We have security guards. We don't let people park that haven't been cleared in front of a building. It's a crime. You can't prevent every crime. You need to take whatever cautions are reasonable. George Mason University has been working on blast mitigation technology so that even if there was such a truck bomb now, it would not have the devastating effect it had in Oklahoma City. We build our buildings differently. So all of those things are good. It's just that you can't afford to have these enormous setbacks from the street. You can't, that don't make sense and that are cost prohibitive. It doesn't make sense to tell people they can't locate near a public transit station. And it does make sense to have parking underneath a building. In metropolitan areas, you don't have the land to necessarily to devote solely to parking. So, let's balance everything, including security, and come up with with the right resolution. That's all we're asking. And DOD, was not compliant before. Now they are. They've worked very well with GSA, and I think we have an appropriate solution. And I think it's going to get even further refined based upon economics and common sense.
Congressman Moran, I appreciate your insight on these security standards. I want to shift gears. We only have about a minute left, so I'm hoping to ask you about where we stand with pay parity, two words that send your constituents and my listeners send shivers up their spines. 2% versus 2.4 versus 3.4, where do we stand right now?
Well, Steny Hoyer and myself and Chris Van Hollen, we have always pushed for pay parity. In other words, we feel that the civilian workforce needs to get the same kind of salary increases as the military workforce. They do oftentimes the very same tasks. They work side by side. There really ought not be a disparity. But this year, the Obama administration requested 3.4% for the military. It has the support of the Armed Services Committee. They suggested 2% increase for civilian employees. Mr. Hoyer and myself and Chris and others, Jerry Connolly obviously represents a lot of federal employees, Don Edwards, we are still pushing for parity. I'm not sure that we really hold a whole lot of ammunition or leverage on this one. Suggesting that we may not be able to get the full 3.4% increase for civilian employees this year because the economy is so bad. So many people are losing their jobs. We don't want to act in such a way that would cause resentment toward the civilian workforce.
Congressman, I apologize, but I'm about to run out of time. My network break's going to start whether I like it or not. I'm very grateful for your time today, and I thank you for being on with me for so long.
You bet. We've also got a lot of provisions that people will like, FERS, sick leave, and things like that. So stay tuned, and we're going to do our best, and I appreciate your covering what we do.